Hello everyone and welcome to The Idiot Box. Is it The Idiot Box or just Idiot Box? I haven't decided yet.
Instagram and website's The Idiot Box, so stick with that.
Okay, welcome to The Idiot Box.
SEO, love, SEO. Keep it on track, podcast darling.
The podcast where me, Morgan, takes my dear friend and hostage, Brett, through the Wikipedia page. List of television shows noted for a negative reception. We watch them and we see if they're actually any good or not. Today, we're looking at, I think, the only show in history to be cancelled within its first 10 minutes. So, it's got to be good, right?
Again, as with last week, I am totally unprepared. I'm even less prepared for this one, because the last one we did have a chat beforehand. Morgan just said some things to me at the end of last week's recording. I was just like, yeah, okay, cool. And then since then, I've been to work and got drunk two nights on the trot, and I am fucked. So I've got no idea what we're doing.
Drinking Boddingtons, like...
Right, so if we're going back to all sitcoms from like the '70s and '80s, right? I am going out to listen to bands who sound like they were playing in pubs in the '70s and '80s and drinking Boddingtons like a man who was out listening to those bands in the '70s and '80s. I am a method podcaster. I am the first, as far as I'm aware, method podcaster. I hate Thatcher. Yeah, like, I'm on the whole fucking... I'm doing the levels.
You're doing the topical stuff about Thatcher,
aren't you? I am, yeah.
Oh, that bloody Norman Tebbit. Oh.
This NHS thing, it'll never take off.
God, I wonder if the Reichmark will survive. Okay, so, today, we are watching... Turn On is an American surreal sketch comedy series created by Digby Wolf and George Schlatter that aired once on ABC on Wednesday, 5th of February 1969. Only one episode was shown partially before being pulled from ABC's airing schedule, leaving another episode unaired. So it was meant to replace a show called Peyton Place, and there's some really good names among the cast list. Teresa Graves, Hamilton Camp, and Chuck McCann.
Right, okay, would it be cool? Would it be called Turn On and those sorts of names? If this isn't a porno. Also, Teresa Graves, is that not one of the Goth Sims?
Yeah, I think she very well could be. So the premise of the show was that it was the first computerized TV show. So it was meant to have the vibe that it was all, like, there was no backdrop, there was none of that. There's no, like, different, you know, when you watch a normal sketch show now, they open in a setting and it's like, oh, Mr. Beauregard, how are you doing today? You know, all that sort of thing. They establish the characters, there's none of that. It's meant to be, like, generated by AI and just completely computerized.
So, when's this from again?
1969.
And, okay, like, so, with last week and this week, we're going weirdly on topic for both, considering they're 30, 50-ish year old shows. AI is a massive thing now, like, are you doing this on purpose?
Well, no, but this is one of the reasons why I find Turn On quite fascinating, is that there is a bit of a sense of, if this was made today, it might be well received, or it might be, you know, at least a semi-decently successful TikTok account.
So all those people who are like, oh, you couldn't make this today, you couldn't show this today because of the woke. This one you probably could, it'd probably be more successful.
Yeah, I think this, it really does have the vibe, you'll see as we go into it. So, the co-creator described it as a comedic sensory assault involving animation, videotape, stop-motion film, electronic distortion, computer graphics, and even people. Sounds were created with Moog synthesizers in lieu of a laugh track, so it was representing the computer's laughter at the show it had created.
Haven't you, like, I was going to say, haven't you got a bit of a thing for synths? It's not like a sexual thing, but haven't you got, like, a bit of a penchant for synthy, moogie nonsense?
Yeah, I'm a trans woman, so I have to. It's a lot.
Is that the star ticket? You get the cat ears, the striped socks, the blahage, and the Moog CD.
Yeah, it's basically switched on Bach is the first thing you have to listen to. and then you're good to go. It was initially sent to CBS for to get picked up by then, but a network official said that Turn On was so fast with the cuts and chops that some people actually got physically disturbed by it. So, famously, it was picked up by WEWS-TV, which was the sort of ABC affiliate station in Cleveland, Ohio. So, the story goes that the general manager of the station was just out enjoying his life. This was on the TV in like a bar or something he was drinking in, and he just immediately rang ABC's headquarters and said, just pull it now, I don't want this on TV.
So that happened for that, for what's it called, Turned On, Switched On,
Hard On,
something on,
Hard On.
But Mrs. Brown's Boys is still on. This is a running bit for Mrs. Brown's Boys. But you know what I mean. Still getting fucking commissioned. I've not seen this, so I can't, like, 100% say, but...
Not to blow the goose on a future episode, but Mrs. Brown's Boys is on the list that we're going through.
No, it fucking isn't. I'm interested in that article.
You're going to start writing glowing reviews of Mrs. Brown's Boys just so you can get it removed off that article.
And do you know what? I'm doing the 70s method thing. Getting pissed on Boddington's, hating Thatcher, I'm going to die of asbestos poisoning. Before we get to Mrs. Brown's Boys, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go out and eat a handful of asbestos.
So, the station, because they didn't have anything queued up to replace, like, 10 minutes of dead air, they apparently went to an emergency protocol of a black screen with some live jaunty organ music.
So, what are we watching today? Are we watching the full episode, or have we got half the episode, half black screen jaunty music? Because to be quite honest, I'm not sure which one I'd rather.
Well, we've got the full episode, because the guy who, Tim Conway, the guy who created the show, has now released all the footage he has of the show still onto YouTube. So,
amazing.
So we've got this little time capsule. The Donald Peris, the manager I mentioned earlier, sent an angry telegram to the ABC president Elton Rule that said, "If your naughty little boys have to write dirty words on the walls, please don't use our walls. Turn On is turned off as far as WEWS is concerned."
That sounds like every single school report I had. Every single one.
And after the programme aired, a spokesman for the station claimed that the switchboard was lit up with protest calls, and they basically described the show as in excessive poor taste. The guys who created the show would later accuse him of actively lobbying other affiliates to force the network cancellation after objecting to it replacing Peyton Place. That was quite hard to say. And several other places said, including Denver, Colorado's KBTV said, "We have decided without hesitation that it would be offensive to a major segment of the audience."
Okay, so I again haven't seen this before. I'm quite excited about this one. This one seems interesting, to say the least. But you've mentioned it a couple of times. What was Peyton Place? What was it replacing?
I don't know, to be honest. Let's look it up. It's a soap opera. It's just a soap opera.
Wow. Imagine. Okay, folks, we've stopped Emmerdale. Now we've got some weird AI-generated dick jokes for the next 3 years. I was going to make a joke about Emmerdale, but I've not seen an episode in like 20 years. Like, it's Marlon in it, still. Is Marlon still in Emmerdale?
I've never seen an episode in my life.
Questions for the audience.
Write in if you know if Marlon is still in Emmerdale.
Self-addressed envelope too.
So apparently another great quote about the show was, because it's apparently like very filled with sexual jokes and stuff like that. So someone said, there wasn't any sort of identification with the audience. Just a bunch of strangers up there insulting everything you believe in.
So the Tory party.
It's sort of gone down in history as a bit of an infamous flop. But, you know, some people seem to like it. Like I said, it is very ahead of its time, so we'll see how it goes. I reckon we
shall we watch it?
Let's queue up the thing.
Wurlitzer's organ in it.
This week, the Idiot Box is sponsored by the Egg Council of Britain. For more information, visit bscrambleaware.org.uk.
See, I didn't want to do that sponsorship because you're always walking on eggshells when they're involved. But there you go.
I'm here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I wish you weren't.
Why don't you just get yourself a job?
I gotta stay loose, baby. I can't be pinned down to a job.
Can't you accept you're just a member of the working class?
I don't consider myself working class.
You don't consider yourself working class? What do you consider yourself?
I consider myself middle class.
So if you're the middle class, who's the working class?
The unemployed.
That's right. This week I'm authorizing expenditures of $23 billion for defense, $4.7 billion for additional foreign aid, and $11 billion for domestic programs.
Excuse me, sir. Yeah. Here's your coffee, and you still owe for last week. Could you get that up, please?
What did you think of that? What were your first impressions?
Before I get into, like, the show itself, I'm having a minor soapbox moment. Fuck YouTube. So, it was less than 30 minutes, right, in total, including George Slatter's little intro, which... The guy seemed very passionate, tiny bit bitter maybe, but if I'd put a lot of work into something and it was cancelled after 10 minutes, I'd be good.
Tremendously bitter.
But that 27 minutes, YouTube gave me 6 ads during, there was one before, one after, there was 8 ads over the course of about 30 minutes. Fuck you, YouTube, that's unnecessary. And I'm not getting YouTube red, I'm not a wanker.
This week's podcast is sponsored by Adblock Plus.
I'm going to plan it, because fuck that. My thoughts on the actual show. I feel physically sick.
I was gonna say tired, but same.
I feel, like, and this isn't the Boddington's hangover, I feel genuinely a little bit sick. There was a few moments where I just had to, like, pause it and just look out the window to get some equilibrium back in my life.
It's so rapid fire that you do not have a minute to just gather yourself.
So, after last week's me just sort of watching it and experiencing it, because it was a sketch show, I thought, okay, I'm going to make notes, right, about each sketch, right? Because I'm like, yeah, it's a sketch show, make a note about each sketch, right? And I got, because I'm not prepared, an old envelope that I've literally written notes off. And I got, like, maybe a minute in, and I'd lost track. Positives. Let's do some positives. There were some genuinely really good jokes in there. Like, there were things that properly made me giggle.
There were quite a few good jokes. I just literally, I tried to do the same thing, but I literally just had to write down, the summary of the joke. Like,
but, yeah, something it reminded me of, I don't know, because there is a few years age gap between us. Did you ever see Zap? I think it was called Zap.
No, I didn't.
So it was like a sketch show. I think it was on around the same sort of time Neil Buchanan was doing Heart Attack, that sort of thing.
Right.
But yeah, it's very much, and sort of the comic strippy bit of this did really remind me of that. And also someone who we're both a fan of, Mr. Biffo on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's, I don't know if you've seen his found footage series, but there's big sort of found footage vibes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the notes I had written down is, it feels like you're not supposed to be watching it.
It does. I'm a fan of, like, horror and scary stuff in all its forms, and I really like good creepypasta. I like bad creepypasta. By the by, I've written my own short story. I'm trying to get an anthology. Give us a shout if you're interested. But there's one particular creepypasta it sort of gave me a whiff of, and it was Normal Porn for Normal People. Have you ever read it, heard of it?
No.
You've got to say no, because Shaking Head Morgan doesn't get picked up on an audio format.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
But yeah, Normal Porn for Normal People, for those who haven't read it, it's basically the guy finds a website through the dark web, and it's like just a catalogue of video clips, and there's like weird titles for them. Most of them are dead links, and there are some, and it was like, oh, it was put on 4chan and people found it. And it's just like really weird video clips. So there's like a fat Nate, there's like one of them is I think he's a paraplegic. He's basically being forced to dance on a dance mat. And there's another one where there was a woman, I think, trying to play saxophone. But if you look in the background, there's a fat guy in clown makeup masturbating. Right, and it's just like loads of weird little vignettes, and it gets sort of really dark and creepy. Like, I do recommend the Creepypasta. But this felt like that, just somehow less, but also more sinister.
Yeah, I mean, I've put down a few things it reminded me of, but the first thing it reminded me of, weirdly, was similar sort of thing. You know, sort of around, like, 2010 to maybe 2017-ish, I think, was maybe the peak of it. A video clip would go viral every sort of couple of months of, this was unearthed from the deep web, and we found it now, and it's weird. Look how weird it is. And, like, do you remember, like, Blank Soup Room?
Oh, not specifically, but yeah, I know the sort of thing you mean. Yeah, it was
like two guys in weird, big, fake, sort of Funko Pop-looking heads going in, and there was a guy crying, eating soup, and they went in and just stroked him while
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, it sort of reminded me of that sort of thing. Like, it doesn't make any sense, and that's unsettling.
Mm.
The other things I wrote down is the music video for the Avalanche's song Frontier Psychiatrist.
So, not seen that either, but it keeps getting recommended on my YouTube, YouTube algorithm thingy.
Yeah, it's very that sort of vibe. Very non sequitur, weird. There was another thing. I wrote down Max Headroom.
Yeah.
Because it kind of reminded me both of, like, Max Headroom, you know, computer animated TV host kind of thing, but also the Max Headroom broadcast hijacking.
Yeah. It does definitely feel like a hijack sort of thing.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, you know, something that could have gone on Adult Swim at 2 a.m.
Yeah. What isn't there? I think it's an Adult Swim thing, and it's meeting up with the. It's called something like Meeting with the Jensens or something like that, or Family Jensen, something like that. And it just starts as like a normal sitcom, but it's like a 25-minute video. And it just gets more disturbing and upsetting as it goes.
I'm not sure, because the thing I noted down was Too Many Cooks.
Too Many Cooks? Yeah. That's what it is, sorry. Yeah. I was going too sitcom-y with it, but yeah, Too Many Cooks.
Yeah, where it sort of... I mean, the joke at the start is, you know, the credits just keep going on and on and on because there are too many cooks. which... It's one of them things that does go from being, like, funny to annoying back to funny again.
Much like this podcast.
I'm really hoping we'll go back to being funny again.
We'll see what happens in episode 3.
The other thing is there's this comedy group who... They released... So they do, like, ARG-type things, alternate reality games.
Yes.
So, yeah, they made this play, I think it was called, like, Welcome to Maine or something, and it was just a video about this city and, you know, it starts off quite normal, but then it gets weird and non-secretary, and there's a game where everyone had to meet up in, like, Central Park in New York and with, like, fennel roots in hand and chase someone away with them. It was all a bit that sort of humour, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very non-sequitur, pun-based humour.
I mean, just starting... So, when I tried in earnest to keep jokes, the first one that really tickled me is... and today's host so-and-so. Hello, and this is Peyton Replace.
Yeah.
Right? Which did make me giggle, like, that is a proper solid joke. Compared to last week, which was Mrs. Noah, which... They were jokes, like, they were form-like jokes, but not funny. Like, that properly made me giggle.
Yeah. There's at least the structure for some decent jokes in this episode.
There were a few things I was watching and go, if this was on Vine, it'd do absolute numbers. Like, there's quite a few in there that have got the same sort of... road work ahead. I sure hope it does. It's got that sort of feel to some of them.
Yeah, like the one where the policeman takes this guy to the door and he's like one of the guys says, you need to take better care of your husband. And she's like, oh, come on in, you, and grabs the police officer and brings him in.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. The foot fetish guy.
Yeah, the entire foot fetish thing was... It was certainly a sketch. Like, I wouldn't necessarily call that funny. I don't have the personal peccadillo of being into feet. If you do, you might find it funnier. But it was just... It's like, is this a genuine act? Like, a little part of it was like, this does feel like something you'd get, like, between Babe Station girls at 3 a.m.
There's a couple of jokes about, like, class structure. And I thought some of them seemed a bit, like, they go down really well on British TV.
Yeah, there was one where a guy said, I'm not working class, I'm middle class. Well, who's working class? The unemployed. That's a solid joke, right? That absolutely works. John Prescott, a while ago, did a TV show about class and being working class, that sort of thing, right? And in that show, he asked a woman, young woman, say, oh, I think you're working class. And she went, well, I don't. And he says, well, why do you not think you're working class? And she said, well, I haven't got a job. Right. And that was her so honest, sincere answer. And, like, people just think like that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how can I be working class if I don't work? Like, just absolutely.
Yeah, the joke in this was like, he's like, I consider myself middle class. Well, if you're middle class, who's working class? The unemployed.
Yeah, it's kind of the inverse of that. Solid joke.
The other one I liked was, I was so upset when I found out my kids were popping pills. I had to go and get drunk. Like there's a couple like that that are just like, yeah, that's fair. You know, structures there.
Let me. Oh yeah, just another thing. I kept count of two things during this. One of them was the ad count. Fuck you again, YouTube. Second was the amount of times I just kind of went and checked how long was left on it. Because honest to God, it's genuinely exhausting. And I checked at 6 minutes 50 seconds, 15 minutes 30 seconds, and 25 minutes and 16 seconds. So there was 3 of them.
Yeah, I think I probably did about 3 as well. Because it's...
I mean, one of my first thoughts were, this thought came in before the 6 minute 50 second mark, was, this does look beautiful, like, there's something very of the time in the way it's staged, like, the staging, the sets and stuff, like, what little set there is, set dressing, absolutely beautiful. Another thought I had that came in before the 6 minute 50 second mark was, this is when the drugs were good.
Yeah.
Like, this is back in the day when LSD was, oh, just so good.
Back when LSD was all the rage. Yeah, I think there's a couple of bits, like, I think the fact that there's no... It could have done with the odd, like, bumper, or just, you know, somewhere in between to, like, break it up.
The in-between bits were people dancing.
Yeah.
But that was just so high energy, there was literally no rest.
And occasionally you get, like, credits rolling on screen halfway during the show.
Yeah, the credits going throughout it really felt... bizarre.
Yeah, it's different, certainly. there's a lot of jokes. So there's no recurring characters, really, apart from there's a couple of recurring jokes. The one thing I kept track of was how many times he did the joke, take him away, boys. Hang on a minute. I get one phone call, and then he phones, like, the speaking clock, or phones for pizza, or phones to check what time certain TV shows are, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the joke, the running joke that got tedious after 2, yes.
After what? Well, I wrote down the phone call joke was so good they had to do it twice, but then they did it another time. It felt a bit laboured, maybe.
Yeah.
It almost didn't have time to feel laboured. Because...
Yeah.
It was just... Joke. My first note was, there's a joke every 5 seconds, but there is not a laugh every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I think even the trouble is with the pace of jokes like this. Have you ever been watching comedy, and it's so good, you're laughing so much that you just stop laughing because you can't do it anymore? I feel like if it was so good that was happening, I'd understand, but it's not. It's like, it's very hit or miss. Every sort of, like, every 5 sketches is one that gets a chuckle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy Tommy Cooper. Like, I enjoy Tommy Cooper's comedy and magic, but I do genuinely enjoy Tommy Cooper. And Tommy Cooper can literally just joke, like, to the point you miss some, but I think most of them are genuinely quite good. Like, and it's a lot of sort of one-liners and prop stuff. This felt like Tommy Cooper, but the CIA had been doing acid experiments on him. Tommy Cooper got groovy.
So, one of the things I think we need to do is we need to... I've just got a couple of questions of, like, format points to just discuss certain things. The first one is, how has it aged?
I don't know whether it's just me, but it veers widely between really quite well and really quite badly. Because there seem to be a lot of things that are very much women's lib and, like, women's rights. And, I mean, they've got people of multi ethnicities in there, and they're not entirely the butt of the joke. But then also there are some questionable racist things, and there are also some questionable sexist things.
Yeah, like, it was 1960s USA. So, let's face it, it's not likely to have been the absolute pinnacle of rights for all, but it sort of is, like you say, there's some jokes that are just so-called war, and then there's some jokes that are like, you could do that today, and it'd be fine. It's kind of ahead of its time, but like, I think the format and the structure is ahead of its time, but the actual jokes are 1960s USA.
So if you wanted, like, one that I made a note of that felt like a TikTok, like it felt like it'd be a TikTok, which the woman goes, "Do you love me?" And he goes, "I've only known you for 2 minutes. You could be a pot-smoking, jaded, wild-eyed radical dropout." And she goes, "I am a pot-smoking, jaded, wild-eyed, radical dropout." And he goes, "I love you." Like, I mean, don't we all want a pot-smoking, jaded, wild-eyed, radical dropout? Or are we not all pot-smoking, jaded, wild-eyed, radical dropouts?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like they summed up your type. I was looking up a couple of the performers in question, and apparently the black woman that featured in it, there was only one, Teresa Graves. She was the, I think it. Sorry, let me just get the Wikipedia up here. The first African American woman to star in her own hour-long television series. And the first to star in a drama television series. That's something.
Oh, good.
She also died in a house fire in 2002, which is unfortunate.
Keep it light. Rest in peace. Was that Vanessa Graves?
Teresa Graves,
sorry. Rest in peace, Teresa Graves. But yeah, talking about, like, wildly sort of on-brand and off-brand, there was also quite a bit of ACAB, which I didn't expect.
It was radical, like, it felt like it was made by some, like, hippies. You know what I mean?
It was definitely hippies on the good weed and the good acid.
Like, there's jokes about the police being dickheads, there's jokes about politicians, there's jokes about, you know, all politics being controlled by finance and all this kind of thing.
This writer's room definitely stunk of patchouli.
Yeah.
Like, there was definitely patchouli going on.
Yeah, I feel like they probably didn't get much done for most of it.
See, I joke about weed stuff, but how could it be this high energy? If there's cannabis.
I was about to say, it has more of a cocaine energy to the actual show.
Yeah, there's, like...
I think a nice cocktail of, like, cocaine and LSD would render this show.
Bit of meth.
Bit of meth in for good measure. And, Yeah.
See, this is back when the drugs were good. No one was, like, dying of fentanyl overdose. Like, people were just taking very, very good drugs, making completely fucking mental shows.
The ending of it was, like, it was just the word sex on the screen.
Yeah, that sketch went on for too long. Everything else was far too short and felt like being fucking just jabbed repeatedly.
That must have been about 2 minutes. Just,
it went on forever.
It just... There was no joke to it, really. Other than...
No.
It's the word sex.
No. It's so weird. I will say, the second half of it, like, up until then, it gave me, like, there were quite a few jokes I did enjoy, and there was one that really annoyed me. So, one that, I did really enjoy as well, just before I get onto the jokes, is the amount of very wibbly synth.
Yeah, everything, it's, after every sketch, it's got, like, a kind of noise with the synths.
There's lots of wibbles and bibbles, and it is proper, like, techno elves.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's not even just after the things, it's like throughout, there's like a, you know, bloop, 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 throughout the entire thing, which I think it contributes to how tiring it feels.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the jokes I did enjoy was, a couple of cops, and one says, do you want to take some of this pornographic literature home tonight? And the other guy says, I haven't got a pornograph. Proper made me howl like that. That's so stupid, but I really enjoyed it.
And then the guy, the police officer asked, just starts eating all the porn.
He starts eating the porn. Like that, I was like, what the fuck now? You had a good joke. Just move on. That, do what you're supposed to do with porn magazines and leave them in bushes and near railway lines so curious teenagers can find out things about themselves. That's what it's for.
I quite enjoyed that bit about it because I was just like, you know, I was just like, oh, he's eating it. That's unusual. But then he goes to the next page and he's like, oh, yeah. You know, starts eating it. So I was like...
Another one that tickled me was the woman getting bugged and he goes, give me your money or your life. And she just hands him the Life magazine and fucks off. Like, that is a solid TikTok. That is a solid Vine.
There's also an Israel joke in there.
Yeah, let's not touch that.
What is it?
Edit that out. Let's not touch it. We're on the verge of World War III. Let's just not mention it, Morgan. I specifically didn't mention it.
I'm nailing my colours to the mast.
What if this podcast is going for a sandwich as Franz Ferdinand drives past? For World War III, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm not gonna...
You have to cut all of this.
I'm not gonna cut any of it. This is a sandwich that sparks with flame.
You gotta cut all of this. There was something that annoyed me, though, like, desperately annoyed me in the second half, was it was two bike cops, like, your American bike cops, proper YMCA bike cops, saying, let us spray, and then spraying something at the camera, right? And what bothered me about that was, why didn't they dress as priests, right? Because I'm like, surely, with everything going on and all the costumes, they've got some sort of religious get-up. And then... within the next 5 minutes, they've got someone dressed as a monk, they've got someone dressed as a cardinal, they've got someone dressed as a nun. That works better formulaically if they are dressed religiously.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like this was... So it's a 30-minute long episode of TV, or like 25 minutes standard.
Was it only 30 minutes?
Yeah, standard US sort of TV show length. It feels like it was filmed in about 2 hours. You know?
Yeah.
It feels like it was like, right, that sketch is done. Costumes off. New costumes on. Shit, I can't find the priest costume for the little spray sketch. Just put these, keep your bike costumes on. Nobody will care. Nobody will be...
I mean...
chatting shit about this in 50 years.
Just a bit of podcast background. Morgan and I are both very, very big fans of Inside Number 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we will watch it. And... quite often there'll be an episode and I'll message Morgan going, how the fuck was that only 30 minutes? Because they cram so much story in, like, Lee Shearsmith, Steve Benberton, amazing writers, they do so, so well. I got to the end of that and going, fuck me, how the fuck was that only 30 minutes? It feels like I've wasted a day. I've never seen a TV show that feels like an endurance sport.
Yeah, like Mrs. Noah last week, I watched some of this, and then I got tired and had to stop watching it. But I sort of love it.
I can see why people would enjoy it, but by the same token, it did make me feel very sick.
See, it's one of these things where if it was on TV today, I don't know if I'd watch it, but I do love that it existed.
Yeah.
I do love that some people were just allowed to do this once for 10 minutes.
It does feel very art student-y.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of, like, art students, theatre students got together like, oh yes, we're all creative friends, let's create something. But they're not given, like, a responsible adult or someone, you know, who isn't part of that creative bubble to go, wait, hang on a second.
This makes no sense. It's one of these things where it's just, I feel like this should have been maybe 10 minutes.
If you cut out all the dross, you'd get a solid 10 minute, like, good thing.
Yeah,
I reckon.
And, you know, you could watch it for 10 minutes and you could come away from it and you'd feel like you'd watched a full TV show. And you'd be like, yes, that is fine. But half an hour is too much for that sort of pace. If that was little 2 or 3 minute bumpers of, like, you know, 5 sketches, 20 seconds each, you know, in between a bigger sketch show or a bigger comedy show. Even something like, I'm trying to think, something like even like a chat show or like Saturday Night Takeaway or something like that. If they had these,
yeah,
little, just quick bumper in the middle while they had to do a cut and get the next item prepped.
Saturday
up.
Night Live.
Yeah.
You know how Saturday Night Live is also like sketches and stuff. If they need, yeah, that work really well.
Like the Simpsons started life as shorts on the Tracy Ullman show.
Mm.
So something like that would have, I think, worked a treat for Turn On. But as it was, I just don't think the format can sustain. I don't think a half an hour TV show format can sustain that level of manic mayhem.
Genuine question, do you reckon it might make more sense if you were high on acid? Do you reckon that would be like, it'd make you see the devil?
Yeah, if you were high on acid, I think it'd just be like a normal sitcom. You'd just watch it and be like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Okay, another question. Shall we take acid and watch this second episode? Try and record.
We have to. I think we have to. Right, there's this film. I think it's quite an obscure film because no one I've met ever seems to have watched it. But it's called Walk Hard. It's a John T. Reilly film. And it stars him as,
I've heard of it.
Yeah. It stars him as, like, this sort of Johnny Cash type, Ray Charles type musician who's getting a biopic made of him, but it's obviously completely fake. It's, you know, but there's, and it just takes stuff from other musicians' biopics, like, for instance, it takes from the Ray Charles story, because Ray Charles went blind. In this one, he loses his sense of smell due to a traumatic incident. So it's stuff like that. And there's a bit where he, like, takes loads of acid and writes music because the Beatles introduce him to it. And he's got this huge orchestra set up, and it ends up just sounding like a horrible cacophony, and there's, like, you know, a goat playing the xylophone and things like this, and it's just absolutely horrible. Cause, you know, he looks at the things and goes, oh, the Beatles made some good music on acid, maybe I should try it. And then it just goes absolutely wrong. And I feel like that's kind of like this. They saw someone make something really funny on acid, and they went, we should drop acid and make something really funny. And it just...
See, you say that as if they weren't already taking acid when they came up with the idea.
Yeah, that is true. So, apparently it's a sort of follow-up, I guess, or like a sort of spiritual successor to another TV show called Laughing, which I think was a bit more conventional. Because most of the reviews I've read of Turn On from the time are, it's trying to be Laughing, but it's not. So I think that one's a bit more conventional. But I just think they've tried to do so much that's different and new that they've not maintained any connection. It's almost like, right, aside from all
they've
the other
issues,
they've
not maintained any connection with reality.
Yeah. Aside from any other issues with the quality of the writing, etc., and we promise we won't bring this up every week, Chibnall's era of Doctor Who, because he'd replaced the Doctor, the showrunner, the composer, replaced all the cameras, new shooting style, new TARDIS, new Sonic, everything was totally new. It just didn't feel like it had that sense of continuity with the show that came before. I feel like this is kind of like
See,
that.
See, the good thing about that, though, is we can just forget about Chibnall's run. We love you, Jodie Whittaker. You were amazing and brilliant and absolutely deserve so much better. But we can just, like, snip out. What we're hoping for is Jodie Whittaker having a really good big finish run, and then we just cut out the Chibnall bits. We forget Chibnall's existence.
But Turn On is like that, but instead of Peter Capaldi's Doctor Who, it doesn't feel connected to it, the rest of reality.
I'm really tired. And, like, just mask off time, like, behind the curtain of the podcast for a second. Like, after last night, a little bit hungover, a little bit tired, but I woke up, had some coffee, like, ready to record this. And I'm fucked. Like, that has knocked any and all wind out of me. I'm just tired and hungry. And that was 30 minutes and it felt like a day. And
I can...
As much as I'm enjoying recording this, I'm just hungry and tired. I'm basically out a toddler at this point. I'm having a tantrum because this fucking show was such an ordeal.
The thing I love about this is, in the Wikipedia article, it did say some of our people found this physically disturbing. And you were kind of like, you know, I imagine you were sort of like, well, how can a TV show be physically disturbing? I'm sure they were being overdramatic, it's probably fine. And now you've watched it and you're like, oh my god, yeah. Oh god, I'll never sleep again, or I'll sleep for 1,000 years, one or the other.
I've got mild PTSD. This has genuinely rocked me quite a bit.
I feel like if I want to, like, really induce a breakdown in you, if you're already a bit shaky, if I just play one of those little Moog stings, you're just gonna go spur. you're just gonna go.
Like a fucking sleeper agent's activation word.
And then you're gonna run around the place, you know. Run around the place wielding your dick like a lightsaber going, it's time to turn on! Hey, have you heard about what Jimmy Carter's doing?
Can we do the race in a wrap up? Because I want to go. I want to get into bed. I want food and I want to get into bed. I want to do nice things.
This is physically...
As much as I did like Mrs. Noah last week, it was just a bad sitcom. This is genuinely really upset me.
Maybe I just love the episode one of this podcast. You're like, oh, little charming little bad sitcom. In episode two, you're just like,
you're like, right. As someone who enjoys conspiracy theories, let's just go through this. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, actually took part in LSD experiments, right, by the CIA to try and test the applications of using acid on, like, military, whatever, right? And that's what people think turned him into the Unabomber, sent him a bit doolally, right? How I feel now is how Ted Kaczynski felt, just because, like, fucking secondhand smoke, the fucking amount of acid and fucking whatever else was in that fucking show.
I just love, though, how on episode one you were just like, oh, it's a little old sitcom, quite charming, but not very funny. The jokes don't really land, but oh well. 4 out of 10. And then episode two, you're just like, Mom, can you come pick me up?
Right, rate it. I'm gonna say it, right, because there was some stuff I didn't like. Don't giggle anymore, Morgan. I'm at the end of my tether with this one. Right, what did I give Mrs. Noah? I think it was a 3.5.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give this a 4, purely because there were some genuine jokes in it and there were things that made me laugh. But fuck me, I just want to... I need it. Come on, rate it or it'll be laugh.
I'm giving it an 8. I love it. You know, I don't think it had the desired effect on the audience, as evidenced by Brett. But I just love that this has been made, and that it got made, you know, 50 years ago before it probably should have.
Right, everyone, I've had enough now. I'm going to get some food. I'm going to do something nice with my day. Morgan, do the wrap-up. Don't give a fuck anymore. If you are interested, if this hasn't, like, completely put you off, we are on Instagram at TheIdiotBoxPodcast.
All one word.
It's very nice. All one word. It's all very nice. Well, it's very nice. It will be very nice when we start doing things with it. But yeah, go give us a follow on there if you are interested. Right, Morgan, do the wrap-up. I'm going to go eat some biscuits.
Follow us at the Idiot Box Podcast. Send us an email at idiotboxtv@gmail.com if you fancy it. Like, subscribe, share, rate, send it to your friends, send it to your enemies. We'll see you next week. Bye! That was a shambles.